And I have just pushed the thing to call Ben. And I'm waiting for it to happen. Because it will happen. He will pick up the phone, and then we will have a conversation. So that's what this podcast is all about. Paul and Ben.
Hey,
talking
Paul.
To each other. And hey, Ben, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Oh, you know, I'm doing okay. So, I almost remembered this time. as you know, I'm calling you 9 minutes late.
Yeah, you were just a couple minutes. You texted me just a couple minutes before I was gonna text you.
Ah, well, there we go. It's getting better anyway.
But I don't want to be that person to, you know, has to remind you every single week.
Yeah, really the truth to that is that you don't want to have to remind me every single week, which isn't bad. Also, the level of my microphone is high. I've scooted back from it, so that should help a little bit. But Jennifer did this thing where she adjusted it, and it worked out really great. So I just have to learn how to adjust it the same way that she did. And maybe I'll ask her to help me.
Speaking of
asking her to help me, she did not have any corrections for this week.
Okay, great.
That's out of the way.
Do you not have a way to manually adjust your microphone? Do you have to go into like audio preferences or something?
Yeah, there's some sort of setting. Gotcha. Either that or maybe she actually could. Maybe there's a dial here. I wonder what this does.
I don't know. I've got an old school mixer with knobs and buttons. Oh, that's really handy.
That's not great. Maybe I adjusted it. I don't know. It's still pretty high though. It'll be fine. Hey, it's not a episode of the Goody Lawrence podcast if we don't talk about audio levels at the beginning of the podcast.
That's what everybody wants to hear.
And we can't be bothered to snip them out because why? It's still good content.
It's all, we record an hour, we release an hour. So we are in, I don't know how many weeks it's been now, but here's your weekly check-in. How's your health?
So far I'm doing all right.
Yeah.
I woke up this morning at 4 a.m. and couldn't get back to sleep. So that was weird. I've been having some trouble like that lately.
Yeah.
Where I'm not sleeping as much as I normally would.
Going back to sleep in the morning has never been something that I've had an issue with.
Yeah. I don't know. It's normally if I'm up, that's pretty much it. And it's because of the way my brain works, right?
Yeah.
As soon as I get up, I want to check all the things. All the stuff that I wanted to do but then stopped doing because I was going to bed.
I did.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
I did get up. I can't remember what day it was because it's all, now that I'm working from home mostly these days, all the days of the week just kind of blur because I don't have, technically I don't get a weekend because I don't need to check in with an employer Monday through Friday. So all the days just kind of blend into each other. But someday in the past week, I did wake up at like 5:45. Which is super early for me. These days, I've been, if I don't set an alarm, regardless of when I go to sleep, I naturally wake up around 9:30.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But like, I woke up at like 5:45, and like at 6 o'clock, I was like, all right, screw it. I'm getting up. And yeah, and I stayed up. I never took a nap, which is unusual for me, again, because working from home, my bed is right behind my chair here.
And, oh, so you take naps.
I take naps, but this one day, and again, I can't remember what day it was, but that's not important. I stayed up until like 2 in the morning watching TV. And I'm like,
wow.
And at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm like, I've been up 20 hours.
Did you watch? Just
how
out
come
of
I'm not tired? I've been watching this car show on Netflix called Car Masters Rust to Riches.
Oh, is it like a flip this house, but it's cars?
Kind of.
They take like an old car and then
they take like a scrap car and they turn it into something cool. It's not like, you know, Pimp My Ride where they just make it ridiculous. There is some ridiculousness, but this is the second Netflix produced car show I've watched. The other one called Rust Valley Restorers, and you'll notice they both have rust in the title.
Hey, wait a second.
But
is it kind of the same?
The thing is, I swear to God, there's got to be some Netflix executive in charge of car show production who has archetypes that he needs to cast in every shot. And so he goes,
he's like,
all right, we have to have the eccentric owner, the guy who owns the shop, and he seems reasonable, but then he asks his employees to do quite unreasonable things. We've got the best friend mechanic who's got the wild hair and is a crazy dude, but he knows everything about cars. We've got the, we also have to have the long-suffering, put-upon other mechanic who seems quite reasonable, but he follows orders and he's a good dude. And then we have to have the girl. And there's your car show archetype right there.
Also, the sounds in the background that you probably can't hear, but the audience will be able to, that's Jennifer entering and leaving the house several times.
Is she forgetting something multiple times?
Possibly, yes. It is because possible.
Because I do that.
Her domain is the garage. So she spends a lot of time there, but you know, she has like her Pepsis that are in the house now, because normally when it's really cold outside, she just leaves them outside.
Yeah.
But now that it's getting warmer. Yeah. It's been in the 80s here.
No kidding. It was only just a few weeks ago when it was like super cold, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's the Midwest for you.
Yeah,
it's nice. Climate change here is a myth, Ben.
It's a hoax intended to ruin the reputation of our president. It's actually quite pleasant here. It's a sunny day, and it's probably in the low 60s. I'm wagering, but I haven't been outside.
Nice. Who are you wagering with, Ben? Not me. I'm not taking that bet.
I only wager with my God.
If you say it's a
God.
Nice day, I believe you. What's that?
I only say, I only wager with my own God.
Well, Nortak, the invincible, lives on the subway.
I did do something we're not supposed to do, and I looked up what the weather is, but it's because it's something that is going to be part of corrections anyway. It's 64 degrees here in Seattle. And if you know Seattle, on a typical day, the parks are going to be jammed with people rocking their cargo shorts, flip-flops, and t-shirts, just lounging around. But I don't know if that's happening right now because of the whole social isolation aspect. They haven't really been enforcing that too heavily here.
Are people following it on their own? I mean, that's sort of how it is.
The crazy thing is, I mean, it's getting better these days. When Governor Inslee first instituted the stay home, stay safe order, nobody, and I think I mentioned this, a friend of mine went to Alki and they were like, I can't believe how many people were at Alki. And I'm like, well, you were there.
Yeah, I was going to say, you were at Alki.
Yeah. But the last time I walked by Cal Anderson Park, which is, you know, park on Capitol Hill that you and I know, it was sunny, but it wasn't necessarily warm, and there were still people out like playing frisbee and walking their dogs and sitting on the ball fields. So I think even though here in Seattle we are flattening the curve a little bit, I think I've heard that we've peaked in terms of daily deaths associated with COVID-19, because Seattleites are really good about not leaving their house and not socializing. You know, the Seattle freeze is actually helping us here in this pandemic. But there are still those people who will go to the park.
Madison County, the county where I live, has had its first death.
No kidding.
Yeah, so not a lot happening here, but everybody is still pretty much staying in and all that. Easter, which is this Sunday, is going to be the most interesting
Easter services.
Well, that's the thing, is that everybody is supposed to be live streaming and not actually doing it.
I saw a story. I think it was in Florida. This is just really quick. Where the landlord of a church, and I didn't even know churches had landlords, changed the locks on the church when they got wind that the pastor was planning on throwing Sunday service. I think this was last weekend.
Interesting. And then the guy was like, hey, why is the church locked? And he was like, hey, why are you at the church? And it was a comedy of errors. No, but here's the thing. Easter baskets, Easter egg hunts, going to grandma and grandpa's, that kind of thing. I don't know. You know, not going to church is something that people can talk themselves out of. Here's the thing, Ben. Take it from me, somebody who went to church a lot when I was a kid. If I had a reason to not go to church, I loved it. Even though I was a strong believer at the time, I loved not going to church. If I was sick, if there was a, you know, we were driving to someplace, you know, any of those things, it was like, yay, this you, is, you know.
You weren't the kind of kid to purposefully make himself vomit in the car on the way to church just to get out of it?
No, I lived across the street from the church, so it wasn't a driving to church. We would just walk over there.
Yeah.
And also, there's a famous thing that my parents said, which is, if you're well enough to watch TV, you're well enough to go to school. Which, that's if you think about it, absolutely makes no sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what they would say. And as a result, I hate to think what would happen if a pandemic like this would have occurred when I was in school, because I believe that I would have been sent there. I have a memory of when I was a child, Ben, going to the hospital with a very high degree fever, something like insane, like 103, 104, where I got x-rayed. My dad had to carry me in to the hospital from the car. And yeah, all sorts of stuff like that. I don't know what it was that I had.
But obviously you got better, because here you are, a 47-year-old man.
But the thing that's interesting is that sometimes at night, this is before all the COVID-19 stuff and all that, I would just wake up coughing a lot.
That's because you swallowed a spider.
And I sneeze all the time. And you know this. I sneeze all the time.
You do sneeze all the time, regardless of the weather, regardless of the season. Paul's a sneezer.
Yeah, so maybe I've gotten this sickness that's been in me for 40 years.
I often wonder that if I have something, some sort of disease, some illness that I've just gotten used to, and I don't know if I'm sick or if I could be better.
Yeah, I do think that at some point in time, whenever there's like AI-driven diagnosis machines where you just get into a tube and it tells you everything, we're all going to find out that we have multiple diseases that we just, you know. Right. Oh, that's why my chest hurts whenever I walk upstairs. I thought I was just out of shape.
But then the treatment is worse than the disease.
Oh, Ben. The treatment's always worse than the disease, Ben. But then after the disease is gone, then you also start the treatment, and then you're better.
Yeah. When I was a kid, we only went to church on Easter. With my grandparents, my dad's parents. And that's the only... So I have very limited memories of church. In fact, the only...
Which denomination do you know? What kind of church it was?
My grandparents, I believe, were Episcopalian.
Okay.
My parents, we were never church-going. Jesus wasn't a big thing in our household. We didn't have, like, you know, crosses, they weren't iconography that you'd find in our house. But my parents do go to church these days because there is one within walking distance of their house. But I couldn't tell you what denomination it is. I don't think it's Episcopalian. I think it's just a general Christian church. My ignorance with the with religion is legendary. However,
I've heard of that guy's ignorance with religion. Right?
The one memory I have of church, I think I was too young to sit for services. They probably just dropped me off in the babysitting area. The Sunday school section where, you know, some nice lady watched all the kids who were like under 10. But that's cool. Yeah. I do remember just the hallways, just being a small person holding my mom or dad's hand, just walking down this hallway in this church with all these people around me.
Oh,
that's the only memory I have of church, of that of that experience going to church on Easter Sunday. You know, for
it's possible that wasn't church, Ben.
What did they do to me?
I've been watching. I watched American Ultra, and this is one of those cases where disclaimer: he is apparently a big jerk when it comes to women. Okay. But Max Landis, the writer Max Landis,
he wrote in any relation to John Landis?
He is. He's, I believe, his son.
Oh,
I want to say.
And he's a terrible person.
This is okay. So yeah, women have complained about him. Women who have dated him have said that there's some not good things.
All right.
Okay. About him. So I just, that disclaimer first, because I'm about to compliment him. I want to point out that, occasionally I will watch something and then I'll be like, oh wow, this pushes all the right buttons. I enjoyed this a lot. And then I see who wrote it and it was Max Landis, Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency, and American Ultra. Both are kind of the same story. And the story is basically this: there's a kid who went through a secret government training program, and they don't really know what the program was or how they got their powers, but now they have special powers, and the same kind of thing. In this case, of course, as we know, most spy films are also superhero films, because the things that the spies can do,
right,
are superhuman. You know,
I have been watching the Daniel Craig James Bond films.
Oh, that are they on something that's free, or have you been renting?
No,
them?
They're not. The first two, Casino Royale and Quantum of Solace, are on HBO, which I subscribe to.
Right.
But the second two that I or. Have I seen two after that? There's Skyfall and Spectre. Is there one between Quantum of Solace and Skyfall? Anyway.
I don't think so. Anyway, I saw Skyfall. I did not see... Who's the bad guy in Quantum of Solace?
The bad guy in Quantum of Solace is a name I don't recognize. But he's the dude who bleeds out of his eyes. He's got like a fake eye. He's French actor.
Wait, the guy who bleeds out of his eye, that's Casino Royale, isn't it?
Oh, no, wait, that is Casino Royale.
And it's not a French guy. It's,
since I've seen them all in such a compressed amount of time,
Mads Mikkelsen,
I'm getting
from
them all mixed
Hannibal.
Up. Quantum, because Skyfall was...
He puts Bond in the chair and then he socks him in the balls with some sort of a...
No Country for Old Men bad guy. Bardem.
Okay, so that was weird. Javier, I thought, Bardem. You hung up because you didn't like the way I was describing.
Did I lose you? I think he hung up on me.
the guy
or from connection Quantum Solace.
Okay, I'm doing it now.
I'm no longer talking.
I am dialing and talking at the same time.
But in the meantime, I figured out that without looking at
Javier
Bardem
soon,
is the bad guy in Skyfall.
You'll get a call from me.
The bad guy in Quantum of Solace is...
Just 1 second, probably.
Ooh.
Oh, gosh, it's your voicemail. That's new. Maybe you're trying to call me. Wouldn't that be interesting? You're trying to call me, I'm trying to call you at the same time, and neither of us are getting through. Once again,
Paul.
I didn't dial it correctly. I was so excited that I had gotten it. Oh, here you are. And we're back.
Hey
Ben.
That's probably my fault.
Hold on.
I think my phone app is freaking out.
Now we're back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey. I think my phone app is freaking out. Because when you were calling me, instead of the typical, like, ringing sound, it went brr, 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 which, you know.
Uh-oh. That's the alert noise. It means it's finally happening, Ben. On the first Tuesday of the month, Wednesday, I think it is. Tuesday or Wednesday in Illinois, And this is one of the, yeah, I'm demonstrating now the reason I don't know. The tornado sirens go off.
Ah, yes.
And it happened, and I had forgotten that it was that time, and I was like, oh no, what is it?
So anyway, I was just saying, I figured out that Javier Bardem is the bad guy in Skyfall, but I can't remember who the bad guy is in Quantum of Solace.
Okay.
Because the guy who bled from his eye is the bad guy in Casino Royale.
Right, that's Mads Mikkelsen.
Yeah, Mads Mikkelsen.
The guy who played Hannibal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, but I had to buy.
So yeah, Quantum of Solace is the one that I didn't see. Wait, hold on. Quantum of Solace is the one with Javier Bardem?
No, that's Skyfall.
Okay, Skyfall is the one I've seen, so I haven't seen Quantum of Solace.
All right, and but I had to buy Skyfall from iTunes, and that's how I'm gonna watch Spectre 2. Maybe I'll watch that tonight. I got nothing else to do. Maybe I'll watch.
Yeah.
Everybody's been saying you don't need to watch Spectre, but I'm a completist, so I'm gonna watch it anyway. But apparently, I guess it's terrible.
Oh, I don't know. I heard that it was really great. I didn't, but I'm saying that right. So that, you know, it kind of cancels out.
I saw a trailer and Christoph Waltz is in it. So, you know, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, why not? He's a good guy. He's a fine actor. When I say he's a good guy, who knows? Might have killed some people. I just mean that I like his acting.
He might be terrible to girls he dates.
Yeah, it's terrible, Ben. Everything that we try to do in the world, eventually somebody's a bad guy.
There was a time when Chris Hardwick got in trouble because somebody.
Isn't it funny that he got in trouble and then all of a sudden no one's really talking about it anymore?
I see him on talk shows and it's like the Me Too movement, like. Hit him a little bit, but didn't stick and kept going.
Yeah. Yeah. It is kind of weird.
Maybe he's been vindicated and I never saw that article, but like, I heard he was, you know, a not nice dude.
Yeah. Johnny Depp, recently.
Johnny Depp was vindicated. I saw that article.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe something like that happened because I didn't know about it.
Yeah.
Until. You know, I'm like, oh, wow, that's crazy. You know, I'm of the opinion that lots of times both people are bad. So I don't know. There's a video online that I saw where this guy gets attacked by a police dog.
Yeah.
And it appears to be that the guy didn't do anything right. And this is the important part. He moves a little, stumbles, falls down. They let the dog go, and then the dog bites him on the leg.
I saw that clip.
Now, when the dog's biting him on his leg, as you know, he has his hands behind his back, and they aren't handcuffed. He is holding them behind his back. Eventually, they handcuff him or zip tie him or something. But at the time. Because you can see he moves his arm and then he moves it back. He is keeping himself on the ground, hands behind his back, while the dog is biting his leg.
Yeah.
And then the police department put out a thing where they're like, well, this is the 911 call that we received. This is, you know, what was happening. You know, we're good people. We're the good guys. We're the police. And you know, these guys were bad guys. You don't see it in the clip.
Yeah.
But we're bad guys. They're bad guys.
I did not see the race of the police, but the subjects were African American. Yes. And so it was one of those things where it's like this dude, I mean, and again, the clip that I saw started like when the guy like falls down. And it's like, the police sick police dog on a guy who was not running, not resisting arrest, not doing anything.
Yeah. So, and if you watch, because I watch, it's a long video, right? The one that I saw.
I didn't see that much of it.
And all the police show up. Eventually, it's everybody. And they go into damage control mode. And they're like, well, we're going to clear this residence. We're going to clear this residence. You don't have a warrant or anything. We're going to get one. We're going to clear this residence. And you better believe we're going to clear it. You know, that kind of stuff.
Right.
And she's like, "Why? Where's my mom? Why are you taking my mom? That's my stepdad. Why did you sick a dog on him?" And all this, and they say, "I'm not going to let you incite a riot," to her. And she's, you know, 15, something like that. But here's the thing. This is what I was going to say is that, people can watch that clip, and depending on whether or not they heard the 911 call, they can go, "Oh, well, yeah, he's a bad guy. So that's fine." And the thing I think about it is that if you watch it without knowing anything, right? Like you and I watched it.
Yeah.
When you see it, there is no reason why the dog should have bitten him. There's no reason the dog should be biting him for that long, no matter how bad of a guy he is.
Right.
And that's kind of my point, is that we're all potentially bad people. If you find out the right things about someone and you're of a certain mindset, they will be a bad person. You know, you and I both worked for super rich people who, well, one of whom is dead now, but you know what I mean? Who could have been it, right? Isn't Paul Allen dead? Am I right?
Yes, he did pass away, but it's okay. You know.
But you know, like someone could say, why does he have the science fiction museum and didn't send some kids to college? Okay, that's a good point.
Right.
Why didn't he? You know, why don't... Right. So we are somewhat establishment... I don't want to say helpers, but sort of. You know what I mean? Like we're
establishment adjacent.
Right. We have worked for the establishment.
We've worked for the man. And
for some people, that is very bad. Now, for people like me, I'm like, I can work for the man. The man exists. The man's hiring. And I am in a system where I need money.
Yeah.
For food and stuff. Am I perpetuating the system? Yes, but I'm also in the system. So
yeah,
it's difficult. Why are you trying to fix? Like, if you're in a boat and the boat is headed toward prison at Alcatraz, and it springs a leak, and you're fixing the boat because you don't want to drown,
right?
And people say, "Why are you fixing the boat? It's that's the boat that's taking you to Alcatraz." Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, yeah, everything is bad if you extend it out far enough. So
if you
look
at the big picture, we're all doomed.
Yeah, really. And this is something I think about. We've talked about this before, about the COVID-19 thing. Like, if I get it, right? This is a thing that I think about. If I get it, I could go to the hospital and get this huge hospital bill and be told to quarantine myself. Or I could stay down here in the basement, quarantine myself, and see if I die or not. And if I don't die, I will have saved a whole bunch of money. If I do die, then Betty and Jennifer get a whole bunch of money.
Well, no, that's not true. But if you do die, then, you know, there could have been the possibility of you not dying, and that's what everybody's going to be left with.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing. It's not suicide if you believe you're going to get better.
Inaction.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm doing... That's the thing, is if... I'm very intrigued with this idea. The whole thing about the boat going to Alcatraz thing, right?
Yeah.
So the idea about we want the government to give people money, right? That's what we give people money
socialism
through the government. The government kind of launders our money and gives it to people. I don't give my money directly to a poor person. I give to the government, and then the government
funds,
distributes
services.
It.
If it's
that's the idea.
Yeah, it's the idea.
So the concept being, if there was no big government, and I realize that I'm using the word big government, and I'm sorry. If there was no you know, larger government, if all we had were the cities that we live in, right?
Yeah.
And the money that we have goes to the city, and the city takes care of the people in the city, and every city is doing that, that could also work out. It's like, I don't know, a cluster of cells versus an entire organism. I don't know how to think about it.
Well, but then you just gotta hope that you don't live.
The system.
You gotta hope that you don't live in an impoverished city, right?
Right.
I'd be fine because I live in a very rich city, but then you know you go across the mountains to Eastern Washington, and there are some cities that aren't so well off.
Right, and you gotta think also. I mean, Seattle. You know, I used to live on Cherry Street. There are some parts of it that aren't great. So, I mean, a redistribution would have to happen there, too, right. A little bit.
No, but I mean, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm saying that as somebody who is not rich, I benefit from all the rich people living in my city.
Oh, yeah. I get it. So, and I guess that's the country idea, too. Notice, see, now I'm talking about economics. I'm not talking about politics. Because as we know, Ben, I am no longer talking about politics. That's my new rule that I've established for myself. So far, it's working out great.
I saw that.
And here's what I'll say. And this is not talking about politics. This is talking about interpersonal relationships with strangers. I've tried telling strangers what they should do. They have no reason to listen to me. And it's lucky because they don't at all. And I see them making mistakes, horrible mistakes, mistakes that are going to go very, very badly. And I was writing about it. I was like, hey, maybe you should do this. And they were like, no, I'm not going to. And I'm like, well, all right. And so then I took away all of my political stuff. And I'm like, you know what? Do whatever it is you're going to do. That's fine. I'm not going to talk about it anymore because I don't think there are two. I pointed this out as well. There are two possibilities. Either people are really stupid or they are disingenuous. And one of the great things about living with Jennifer is that some of her attitudes have rubbed off on me. And I just realized I don't have to decide or figure out if you're stupid or disingenuous. I can just put you in a bucket that says stupid or disingenuous and treat both of those states as the same. So if somebody is doing something that doesn't make any sense and would only make sense if they were a bad person or a dumb person, I can just treat bad and dumb as the same thing. And not have to worry about it past that.
Well, is that what you think of the people who are saying, go ahead and go to church on Easter Sunday? Are they both bad and dumb?
Okay. Yeah, that is a great example of something that, yeah, I would put that in the same category. I don't know if you're doing it because you want people to get sick. Or you're doing it because you don't think people are going to get sick. In the end, the net result is the same.
Right.
More sick people.
Right.
So I'll just deal with the behavior, not with the motivation. Oh, and speaking about dealing with the behavior, not the motivation, guess what's just happened, Ben?
We got corrections from Jennifer Fact Checker.
That is correct. All right.
They just
Let's
came in.
Let's talk about it. So, this podcast, you might be wondering, what is it? Well, I'll tell you. It started out as a performance art piece and has morphed into something a little bit more noble. You see, Ben and I...
I mean...
well, we live in the 21st century, the early 21st century, and we believe that in the future, historians will want to know what the early 21st century was like, and what better way than listening to our podcast? Yes, it will survive. As society collapses around us, they will find this podcast, and they will say, ah, well, there's this guy named Paul and this guy named Ben, and they talk to each other, and they have all these facts about life in the 21st century. And that's when I thought, oh no, what if we get these facts wrong? What are we going to do? But we've built in an error correction system. It is a segment where we ask you, the listener, to write in to Ben's email at yahoo.com at gmail.com. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And let us know what we got wrong, and we'll read it on the next podcast, and therefore, our podcast is now self-correcting because of people like Jennifer Factchecker, my wife, Jennifer Pratt, who listens to our episodes and lets us know if there's anything that we got wrong in a segment that we like to call Corrections. Ding! Ding!
We were speculating last week about whether or not a Republican candidate, or not a presidential candidate, has died while running for office. Ah. Because we both think that is a very real possibility for either Trump or Biden at this point. To
what would happen?
To get the disease and possibly die before the November election. Right now we're recording this in mid-April. Early to mid-April.
And I just want to point out that this was from last week's podcast, so it's fine that we're talking about politics because this is important for science.
Have you gotten a talking to off mic about how much politics talk we shouldn't have?
I can say that how much politics talk I was doing in my life, not just on the podcast, was enough to really cause me to rethink how much time I'm spending thinking about politics.
Okay.
And so, that's all I will say.
That's a subject we were talking about last week, and we just received this correction not 5 minutes ago as we record this. And it's just the one. In 1872, Horace Greeley died after the popular vote was in, but the Electoral College vote was not. He was the liberal candidate running against incumbent Ulysses S. Grant. Grant had won the popular vote and subsequently won the electoral vote back when both of those things used to match. It is the only election in which one of the two major candidates died during the election process. Other prospective candidates have died during the campaign process. VP James Sherman died during the election of 1912, leaving Taft without a running mate. And that is
also, he didn't get another one. That's if I'm allowed to speculate just a little bit, I'm wondering, would the VP just become the nominee at that point?
What do you mean? But, if it
happened,
like if Greeley had won the popular and the electoral college, would his VP have just assumed the position?
Right.
Gotcha. I don't know. Or if, I don't know if there are provisions in place for such a thing.
Yeah, I figure this would be the thing. As long as it happens before the convention would decide who's going forward. Right. But after that, I don't know. It'd be pretty interesting. If I were the VP, I know I would go, hey. How about this guy?
It's been a while since I've had my Constitution class in junior high, but seeing as how the Constitution was written when a 35-year-old dude was considered an old man, I would assume that there are provisions in place in the Constitution should one happen to pass away during the campaign, during the election.
Wait, is that true? 35 was considered an old man?
Yeah, back in what, 1776?
Wow, that's crazy.
35 was old, you know. 18 was considered old.
So we're not old yet.
I don't think I'm old.
Really? I mean, now, modern times. But because I think it's because they're older people.
Back in the 18th century, out there. if you were 44, you know, it's not like you were on the edge of retiring, but you consider yourself lucky you made it.
Yeah, and that's why we live several lifetimes now. That's something. The place where I work, where I don't talk about where I work, I've been working there for 5 years now. A pin commemorating my longevity that I can't get because everyone's quarantined.
Right. Is that...
Well...
Is that the place you went over there for? Same job?
Okay, so here's what I can say. When I went over here...
Yeah.
I was a temporary employee at a company. Now I've been working 5 years at a company as a full-time employee.
Gotcha.
And it may be the same place.
God.
Who can say? But yeah, all I can say is that a company that you're a temporary employee at, maybe not always the case, but most of the time they don't really consider you an employee until you're an actual employee. Microsoft was like that. I can say that. Microsoft was like that. Might have even talked about this on the podcast before. They would lay out food for employees. And as somebody who was working there, watching this food that it was just sitting out for 3 hours,
right,
nobody eating it, I would go, can I get some of that? And they said, no, nope. You cannot.
We have to throw that away.
I don't want to get anyone in trouble. But there was a certain person who every once in a while would get food, quote unquote, from the thing and then hand it off to me and say, and this is true. This is after they saw me do that. Yeah. They'd say, you know, I got this and I'm pretty full. Do you want the rest of it? And I'd be like, yes.
It
wasn't until a little while later that I realized they were kind of doing it on purpose.
Yeah, that's a quality person right there. I mean, they see how the system is you know, these arbitrary rules, you know, benefit some and not others.
And that's the other thing, you know, are they a jerk for working for a company that does that, or are they a good person for doing the opposite? I think it's very malleable.
I bet you that it's a liability issue, because when you become an employee of Microsoft, you probably sign away something that says, you know, I won't sue Microsoft if I get sick from company supplied food.
Do you remember me talking about the milk at Microsoft?
The
at all?
Milk. I do not.
Okay. So there are little milks, right? Little milks that you can get. Yeah, okay. When you were working at Microsoft, and this is something that I was allowed to do, I asked specifically, you're allowed to get drinks, just get them. Like there are drinks that are stocked there, and you can get as many drinks as you want.
Yeah.
I'm familiar with
that concept.
They had milks, little milks, like you might get at school. And people would use them for their coffee, the coffee that's in there.
Right.
Now, but what they would do is, because they're environmentally conscious, they would open up the milk, use what they wanted from the milk, and then they would put it back. And this was causing all sorts of problems because nobody knew how old those milks were.
Right.
Meaning how long they were opened and everything. So there was a big sign saying, when you're done with your milk, pour it in the sink and throw it away or whatever, because we don't want you putting it back in the fridge.
Yeah.
Can you imagine now a half open milk in a fridge? No one would touch it.
And again, looking at it from a business perspective, it's less expensive to waste a small carton of milk per single employee than to pay for somebody's hospital bills.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. And,
but even though it seems like such a waste, so such a needless waste.
It's all going to the same place eventually, or all coming from the same place. Everybody's generating. It's funny when you think about money not existing, right?
Yeah.
Like you go to Microsoft and you work at their thing, and then you also get all the stuff. And I feel like that's how Amazon's going to be working eventually. When Jeff Bezos, I think I've talked about this before. This isn't politics. This is economics and technology. When Jeff Bezos.
It all intertwines.
Finally,
dude.
Gets Blue Origin and has his space stations where people are working. I believe this is his dream. There will be no actual law there. Everyone will be working and getting things, and you won't ever get paid, really. You'll just get stuff.
But yeah, everything will be provided. As and long as you work.
Decide to form a union.
You're going out the air a lot.
Your air will be cut off. Oh, no, you won't go off the air. Your air will be cut off for however long you decide to still do the thing. Control of air is just a crazy concept, but it's a thing that could happen.
Yeah.
Even here, Ben, even on Earth, why not? All they have to do is build airtight houses.
Let's see. Then... Do you want the toxic air with a possibility of disease, or do you want the clean air?
Yeah, because we'll get you the clean air.
Yeah.
I still love it every single time I hear it, Ben. Somebody's like, in the future, we're going to have to, like, somebody's going to own the water. You're going to have to pay for it. And it's like, I have a water bill. Water bill every month. Is it just that the person who owns it is going to be an even bigger jerk than the people that own it now? That's kind of the thing that, who was it? It was one of our friends, probably Stephen McCandless, I want to say, friend of the show, Stephen McCandless. The idea that in the end, money isn't really what makes stuff work. It's violence. It sounds like something he would say. All of our laws are based on the idea that if you don't follow them, eventually you're going to get hurt, physically hurt by somebody.
Ah.
You know, put in jail, murdered if it's treason. No, is it considered murder if it's treason? No, it'd be execution, wouldn't it?
Depends on who's doing it.
Yeah, I suppose so. Someone can be murdered execution style. I've heard that before.
Yeah.
The state, yes. Probably. But I got to say, it's sort of interesting. Again, this isn't politics. It's real close to politics, but it's not.
You don't need to keep qualifying it.
Yeah. Revolutions, right? Don't follow a 4-year cycle. This is something I was thinking about, and I know it sounds crazy, but it's like, what if this happens? What if that? You know, thinking about all the different possibilities. And somebody noted, you know, that a person who is, you know, the president of a country could suspend elections, could say, oh, there won't be any elections. And then once that happens, it gets really foggy as to when they start up again.
Yeah.
You know, if ever. Like, that's the step, right? You get everyone to agree, okay, we're not going to have them.
Like, does that...
And then you're like, well, what about now?
Person is president until they die, and then when they die, their son or daughter takes over?
Exactly. That, or their that spouse? Basic, yeah, there's a word for it. I don't remember what it is exactly. But, so, yeah, the concept would be... you know, someone's like, well, what's going to happen then? It's like, well, once you do that, you're no longer in the same system that you were in before. And everything is kind of up for grabs at that point. If you and I are playing tic-tac-toe, and then all of a sudden you draw a cat instead of a circle.
Turn my circle into a cat?
Right, exactly. Sure. Or if you set the paper on fire, which of us won? Well, it doesn't matter anymore. We're not playing that game anymore. And that's sort of the thing, is that our systems, right, are sort of big games that we agree to play with one another. And if someone really stops playing that game, someone can start a new one up. And that's an interesting idea. It's sort of, I mean, we're in a new game now, right? All of a sudden, like,
yeah.
There's nothing stopping Annex Theater. Well, maybe there is. All these things are guidelines right now, right? Are they for sure? Are they lawful orders yet? Or are they suggestions in Seattle?
The stay
suggestions
at home
and
order?
Recommendations. Yeah,
it's not law, but it's, you know, it's. I don't know if there's a mid ground between an enforceable law and something that you should do.
Right.
I'm not going to get arrested if I go to the park, but a park ranger is probably going to tell me to get the F out.
Right, exactly. So, and that's the thing, right? So there's no real law, but everybody's doing it anyway, because we all agree that that's, you know, what we should be doing.
Yeah.
At some point in time, if something were to happen where a large group of people wanted to come together in one spot, that's all of a sudden we've broken the rules, right? The sort of non-existent but still observed rules. Non-existent meaning they're not in a law book somewhere. They're just suggestions that everybody has agreed to go for. But if somebody violates that, like let's say for instance, I don't know, the chief of police gets all the police officers together and they have a Mardi Gras celebration at Westlake. That's gonna make people go, what are we all doing? Right? They're gonna get confused. They're not gonna understand it. That event might be enough to get other people to stop following the rules also. The reason I mentioned this, out here where I live, the chief of police's wife went to a bar with a bunch of other people. And I want to say it's the chief of police, might be the mayor, don't remember. Local official.
Yes.
His wife came out and he gave the order to arrest her with everybody else. And the reason that he did that was because if he were seen playing favorites or whatever, then this whole thing would like collapse out here.
Right.
So I think about that a lot.
Your bars are still open. I mean, that's news to me.
Well, I don't know if they, this is the thing, is I don't know if they were, right? It might be that these people went to this bar and opened it up.
So now they have to add a breaking and entering charge on top of it.
Yeah. Or you know, the person who had the bar was in on it, or I don't know exactly. Yeah. But most things in Edwardsville are closed.
Yeah.
You can walk in and get stuff from certain places. But so I don't know if Alton is the same way or not. It might be different. But there aren't any bars that are open during this time here. So I don't know. I wish I had paid more attention to that story before I started talking about it. You know who does pay attention to that story? My wife, Jennifer Pratt, Jennifer Fact Checker. Maybe we'll hear more about it next time. Oh, and speaking about hearing more about it next time. Hey, buddy!
Oh, God.
So, I'm getting better with the shepherd sling. I actually can hit a tree now. I hit a tree and a wasp came out of it. Oh, just and also one? I can't hit a tree. Yeah, just one. And I was far enough away that it was like, what was that? And I was like, ha ha. But I can probably get other ones too.
Can you hit a tree that's human size and moving at you really quickly?
No, I can't. And why would I want to? Hey, speaking of that, here's Betty.
Hi.
I have handed the headphones off to her, so I can't hear you, Ben.
Oh, God.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. It's been a while. Are you still enjoying your sequestering at home?
Yes.
Yeah. What's your day like? How many hours of schoolwork do you do?
Well, I'm on spring break right now.
Oh, it's spring break.
Yeah, so my normal day is that I go to sleep at 8 a.m.
Seriously?
It's, well, thing is, the first thing I do is that I go to sleep at some ungodly hour.
Yeah, that's not surprising.
And then I, and then, like, with yesterday, or today. I stayed up all night, but then decided to take a nap at 8.
8 so, a.m. or 8 p.m.?
8 a.m. So okay. Now I'm more awake than I would have been.
Yeah.
Didn't you wake up at 4 p.m.?
What?
I think you woke up at 4 p.m.
I didn't wake up at 4 p.m. I got up at like 2 or 3-ish, and then I just stayed in my room until I decided to come back out. So yeah, then I stay in my room for like a few hours, then I go back out, say hi to the family, and then I go back into my room and play Animal Crossing, and also watch more YouTube.
Yeah.
Until I get tired. And then I go on my computer and do some other things, and then I go to sleep at some like ungodly hour.
Who are your favorite YouTube creators?
Oh, I'm very fond of this one group-ish of people who serve as great background noise for whenever I'm doing something. They're called Drawfy, and they draw things that okay. They don't know about or that they do know about. They just draw a bunch of things and talk, and it's pretty fun.
All right. And you get to see what they're drawing like from beginning to end. Yeah. And they have a final product that they show.
Yep.
Cool.
It's pretty funny. And then yeah, and they're like all really cool people and all that. I'm also fond of this one YouTuber, ProZD. He makes like hilarious skits about video games and TV shows and stuff.
Okay.
And it's pretty hilarious.
ProZD.
He's really good.
I watch a lot of funny YouTubers, or things that just keep me occupied for a while.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm not really on the lookout for what the hip kids are watching these days, but I'm always, you know, interested to see if there's something that's penetrating the zeitgeist that I need to know about.
Well, see, here's the thing. I'm also out of touch with my generation.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, I'm just like, who the heck? What is this hype house thingy? I don't get it. Or, like, why do people keep, like, moving their arms in weird ways and going, like, whoa, and saying that that's a dance move, well, and doing all other random things to a very annoying song. I actually learned one of the TikTok dances, and I feel pretty proud of myself.
Now, do you feel like you are out of touch because of the whole quarantine thing, or is this just a natural progression of your evolution
both?
As a consumer of pop culture?
Both,
yeah, okay.
Anyways, that's all I got for me.
Alrighty. Well,
my parents.
I was gonna say, well, it's good talking to you.
My parents are kind of forcing me to go out of my room, finally.
Yeah.
Because they finally like caught on that I'm just like a little gremlin in my room. So they're telling me like, hey, you gotta have dinner with us sometime.
Yeah. That, you know, my parents did the exact same thing to me.
Anyways, that's it. I'll see y'all later.
Alrighty, good talking.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Betty.
Welcome.
Alright. And with that, we're almost toward the end of the show, Ben.
Almost. About a minute and a half left. Gosh,
yeah,
what are
yeah.
we gonna talk about?
I got nothing.
Oh, you know what we haven't done in a while. We haven't talked about this day in history on in our oeuvre.
Oh yeah, yeah. Is it something that we can get to pretty quickly, or
I? You know what? I don't even remember the last thing we did.
Huh? Maybe we should say that for next time. Ooh, tease the listeners.
Yeah, tease it.
What about music, Ben? What music are you listening to right now? Or I mean, these days.
What am I listening to these days? Same ones. I've gotten back into Weird Al. I went to a Weird Al concert last year at the Paramount. And so I recently just bought all the albums that I didn't have on iTunes. The Black Keys are also a fun favorite. Oh, there's this bluegrass band from Toronto called The Dead South.
The Dead South.
And okay. I've really been digging on their jans lately.
Wow, for Toronto, The Dead South is probably Ohio.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, cool, Ben. Cool. Thank you for letting me know. And I just realized I haven't been listening to any music recently, except for, again, the soundtrack to Legion. Yes. Called It's Always Blue, which is great. It's really good. And with that, cool. I think we're at the end again.
And with that, I should bid you to keep it wrong.
Ben, I also beg of you to keep it wrong. For you and your family.
Right.
Until the end of days.
From you to you and yours, from us and ours. Keep it wrong.
I hope to see you again audibly next week.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
Talk to you later, Ben.
All right, bye.
This time, I'm going to hang up this first.